like you had, Hope. Revelation chapter 21, there's a strict warning from the Word of God. It says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Our Lord gives us warning from His Word about something that's a very hard subject for most folks to tackle. It seems that preachers can't even pronounce the word anymore. But I'm going to preach to you this morning, by God's help today, on who will be in hell. Who will be in hell? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to You today and we pray, God, that You'll help us today. God, that You'll touch our hearts and our lives. Help us, Lord God, to speak the truth in love from the Word of God. We pray, God, for Your understanding on this passage of Scripture and the other Scriptures we'll look at today according to Psalm 119, verse 18. "Open Thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law." And Lord, I pray today, God, You'd help me preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and for His sake. Amen. As we look today in the Scriptures, the question is asked, who will be in hell? And it doesn't mean the answer to that question is whoever disagrees with you or who you don't like. A lot of people seem to think that's a word they can throw around lightly, that they can just tell people to go to that place and say it without apology, and it's okay because they said it. That's a very bad place to tell somebody to go to. Out of all the places in this universe we could talk about are really bad, it's worse than any state in America, any country in the world, yea, any place on this earth or in this universe, actually. God puts people in hell, and He puts them there by their own choice. Nobody would ever choose hell if they knew what it was. But when you reject Jesus Christ and you reject the gospel message of His death, burial, and resurrection, you make that choice yourself. Now, if you'll notice something today, when we talk about who will be in hell, if you'll look over Matthew chapter 25, we'll start there. Matthew chapter 25, down about verse 41. The Bible tells us who will. In this discourse, Jesus Christ talks about this in Matthew chapter 25, down at verse 41. He says this, "Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." I'd like to announce to you today and know for sure that you understand this, that the devil will be in hell. What I'm sad to announce to you today is the devil is not in hell right now. We always get these cute little cartoons or pictures or on some sitcom. They'll show the devil sitting on somebody's shoulder, or they'll show a picture of him in hell with a pitchfork or something. That's not him. He's not in hell. He's headed there, but he's not there. It is prepared for him, though. One thing a lot of folks don't realize about this place called hell is that the devil is its number one occupant. He just hadn't got there yet. And listen, he's trying to do all he can to take all that he can with him by getting them to reject the most simple thing they'll ever hear in their life, is that Jesus Christ died and paid for their sins in His own blood, and that they can be redeemed by trusting in Jesus Christ alone and be born again through the power of God. Right. And when they reject that message, they accept what this place really is. He pointed out there and said that they're cursed, and it says everlasting fire. Everlasting indicates it hadn't always been there. But it come about because God had to have a place that He had would punish sin, because He is a fair and just God. If there's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. There had to be fairness there. And no amount of good works will get you to heaven, but all the good works in the world will put you straight in hell. When you reject Jesus Christ, it don't matter what you do past that, how good you are, how good you think you are. Another person will be in hell there, according to that verse. He said the devil and his angels. Now notice that, the devil and his angels. Who were his angels? Well, I would have to say that probably these goat nations are probably his in so much. He even points it out in other places. But the goat nations being the goat nations, the ones who have rejected God and his gospel, rejected his son Jesus Christ, and have some form of religion, be it whatever it may be, Muslim, be it Buddhism, atheism, whatever their religion is, that will put them in hell, and it's a place put for them there. I'm talking a nation that wholesale will go to hell because they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And there are nations all over this planet like that, and you are living in one right now. People think that government will be forever. In the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, it will be Christ who will put the government on his shoulders. Because human beings have proved we cannot run these things without getting it corrupt. I noticed that another crowd that will be there, if you look back at Revelation 19, down at verse 20, it tells of two other crowds we're going to see that are there. During the time of the tribulation, there's going to be something rise up out of the ocean called the beast. And it says in Revelation chapter 19, at the end of the thing here, when he is at the end of the tribulation, it says in Revelation 19, verse 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. There's two other things that's going to be there. The beast will be there, and the false prophet will be there. Not false prophets, the false prophet. The one that's in the very image of Satan, the one that, listen, and the beast there, both of them will be placed there because they don't have the power to overcome him who shows back up on a white horse. If you ever wondered why you watch Western movies and the good guy rides on a horse, they stole the plot from some other book. They got their script from somewhere else, and the king is coming. He's coming on a white horse, and he's going to take down the beast, and he's going to take down the false prophet. They spent 7 years blaspheming his holy name, blaspheming his things that he's had on this earth, and blaspheming and trying to kill his people, committing abominable acts, deceiving people into thinking abominations are okay with God, and now the beast and false prophet are taken. And they're put in hell forever.
Right.
They will never get out. The one thing that people don't seem to realize about these two things is the church will never be here to see either one of these.
Right.
I have people tell me, well, I like to study prophecy so I can find out if these things are happening. I need to get saved. You need to get saved right now.
Right.
Before another second goes on. Today's the day of your salvation. If you have got enough sense about you to realize that, turn to Christ while you can. The Spirit and the Bride say come. And I see a lot of folks today monkeying with the things of God and playing church and playing all these little things. You need to understand that beast and that false prophet, if they're going because they're playing, you're going with them. And during the tribulation time, they'll be let loose on this earth. There'll be a lot of things happen. But they'll be put in hell. Don't worry about that. That's somebody that'll be in hell. Also, if you look over in, let's see, Acts chapter 1. Somebody else is going to wind up there because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Is a guy you've read about in the Bible, if you read the Bible very long. His name is Judas Iscariot. And the Bible says about him, we're going to look at several things about him. One of them is in Acts chapter 1, verse 25, where the Scripture says this, Acts chapter 1, verse 25, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, which Judas by transgression failed, that he might go to his own place. Judas by transgression failed. What was his transgression? He rejected God's way to heaven. Say, I thought he betrayed Christ. He did that also, but he rejected God's only way to heaven. When Thomas said something to Jesus, we call him Doubting Thomas. But there was unbelieving Judas the whole time. When we see that they come to arrest Jesus, there was Judas leading the pack. And he told them, whomsoever I shall kiss, that's the one. He kissed the door of heaven and exploded through the gates of hell at his death. This man took his own life, not in repentance, but because he felt bad for what he did. There's a lot of people today who feel bad for what they do, but they never turn to Christ. There's a lot of tears shed in repentance, but it's repentance because they got caught, not because they're turning to Christ or changing their mind about sin or changing their mind about the Savior. Listen, there's a lot of people today who play the role of Judas Iscariot that wind up in a devil's hell that was never intended for him, but it says of Judas, he went to his own place. How was it his place? He chose to be there.
That's right.
He chose to make his abode there by rejecting God's plan of salvation. He was there the day Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. He heard that with his own ears out of the mouth of the Lord
right.
Jesus Christ.
Right.
He walked with him 3.5 years. He saw him raise people from the dead. He saw the miracles of the feeding the 5,000. He saw all of that. And yet rejected it. And there are some sitting here today, beloved, who would say, well, if I could just see God do a miracle, I'd get saved. You wouldn't do it. Listen, that ain't how you get saved.
Right.
You believe in Him whom you've not seen.
Right.
You trust in Him who's already done the work. You accept the payment God's already made, not what you can do for Him, what He's done for you.
Amen.
Notice this. You've got Judas in John chapter 6. Look at verse 64. John chapter 6, verse 64. John chapter 6, down at verse 64. The Bible says this. He's sitting there preaching to these folks in John chapter 6, verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him.
Right.
He knew.
Yep.
And He knows now.
That's right.
And then verse 70, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? Boy, He really knew who that was, didn't He?
Yes, sir.
Wonder which one He's talking about. If they'd asked the other 11, they'd have said, is it I? Just like they did at the Last Supper. But He is talking about Judas. If you look over in John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Judas takes his exit to go betray Christ in John chapter 13. Then you get over to John chapter 17 verse 12. Jesus is praying. He's there praying with His Father. And He says in John chapter 17 verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. He knew who He was from the start. Jesus still knows. And the craziest thing is, no matter how much religion somebody plays, He sees right through them. He saw right through Judas. Judas preached. Judas did miracles. He performed signs and wonders. He's in hell right now. The Bible says he was, not me. The Bible says he was. I want you to notice also in Matthew chapter 7, we find another crowd there. Matthew chapter 7. There's another crowd shows up in hell. These are all people that Jesus Christ is pointing out through His Word here. And in Matthew chapter 7, if you look down at verse 21, not everyone, He says in Matthew chapter 7 verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
Yep.
He said there's a difference in professors and possessors. And the difference is this. Anybody can call Him Lord, but it's real hard to do what He says according to what people say.
Right.
He didn't say it was hard. He said they do it. You'll find out that amongst human beings, there's one thing that unites the entire human race, and it's not blood. It's the fact that every one of us do what we want to do.
How about that?
And you will do what you want to do, no matter what you're sitting there saying to yourself right now. If you want to be a millionaire, you'll be one. Not because you want to be one, but you'll find out a way to do it if that's what you really want out of life.
Yeah.
Most folks that say, I wish I was a millionaire, they just want their bills paid and somebody to take care of them. Want it easy. But somebody who wakes up determined they're going to be one, they'll be one. Well, you got to go to college. You got to have it. Dave Thomas didn't have no college education. He didn't have a high school education. So I never heard of him. You ever heard of Wendy's? Ray Kroc, no college, McDonald's. All them guys like that. How'd they get like that? They wanted to. You know why you're where you're at? Because you want to be there. Listen, God will give you the desire of your heart according to Psalm 37. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. If you want to do something for him, he'll put you there to do it. But if you want to be, listen, whatever you are, you put yourself there. Now listen to this. There's a lot of folks today that desire to go to heaven, and they think by saying Jesus is Lord, they'll make it. That's not what the scripture says at all. It says Jesus is the Lord, if you want to get technical. But he's saying this, not everyone that says unto me that, Lord, Lord. There's a lot of folks today that holler out on the Lord when the tire blows out. They get this spare tire religion just like you've got in your car, and Lord, I hope you've got one. Because if you don't, you're going to find out how bad you need one at the worst time. Usually the thing blows out at the place you don't want it to. The last time I had a flat tire was on 95 in the left lane, almost to Greenwood down there. I heard the thing go, boom! But right before it did that, there's a red light went off on my dash that the tire pressure's low. And by the time I figured out what that was, I heard the pop. And I thought, well, that was quick, wasn't it? Swerved to the right, cut through all the lanes of traffic to get over there before everybody caught up with me. I was either leading that pack or behind the other one. I don't forget how you'd word that to say it legally. But I know at 65 miles an hour, when the tire goes out, it don't matter if it's 35 or 65, you're going to have a time getting over. I got over there and I thought, man, what happened? Got outside and there it was. It looked like, listen, it looked like a sandwich somebody chewed up and spit back on my car. I thought, where'd my tire go? And I thought, do I have a spare? And it dawned on me, I got one of them stupid donuts. Donuts is for Krispy Kreme, by the way. They're not to be driven on for 5 weeks. Don't raise your hand if you've done that, by the way, and give no testimony of it. That was a really dumb thing to do. But I think a lot of folks do that with their religion this day. They have a blowout on something of God's, and they try to ride to heaven on something that ain't going to get them there. They get mad at some preacher, they get mad at some church, and they hold a grudge for the rest of their life, all the while riding around on spare tire religion. Or could it be that your life's going good, and you have a blowout, and you run back in that trunk to get God out when you need him? That's more like it, isn't it? And what people do is, they'll go out there and do something like that, all in the meanwhile, claiming something they never have had. I watch people riding around on donuts, and I notice things about people's cars like that. If they can get by with it more than a day, they'll do it. Let me ask some of you experts, how far are you really supposed to go on that thing? 30 miles? 3 miles? Something like that? Listen to this. It doesn't mean you try to take it to Spartanburg or Greenville running 75 miles an hour down an interstate. That don't work. Those roads out there are bad enough right now on your regular tires. Wonder what they do to them little things. And listen to me. One blowout will wreck your life if you ain't careful.
That's right.
And you'll get stranded sometime without a spare if you ain't careful. Mm-hmm. Now notice this. He said in the verse 22, many will say unto me in that day, what day? Judgment day. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Judas prophesied in his name. In thy name cast out devils? Judas cast out devils. In thy name done many wonderful works? There's a lot of folks did that. And Jesus says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. He didn't know them and then unknow them. He never knew them. They've been playing religious games. Now it's caught up with them, and it's caught up with them at the wrong place. He says, depart from me that work iniquity. Where are they going? Into everlasting fire. If you look up Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, down at verse 51. He's talking about hell in this verse over here. And he points this out. He says, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A picture of hell in the lake of fire. Who's going there? Hypocrites. Hypocrites of all ages, shapes and sizes, of all languages, of all skin colors will be there. Why? because they played religion instead of just simply getting saved. Do you know what's worse on people is the older they get, they say, well, I can't do that now, then everybody know I've been faking it all this time. I'd rather spend 70 years here on this side of the grave and find out, that everybody find out I'd missed it and got saved at the end of the thing, rather than be in hell for eternity, never have got it. Because then they'll see you on the great white throne judgment, and they'll know then. You ever wonder why there's tears in heaven? Because they'll look around and you won't be there. Now, so let's double check. They'll check the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name's not there. That's how they know. That's why there's tears in heaven. That's why God shall wipe away all tears. I notice that people say, well, we know anybody in hell. Yes, you. I mean, heaven. They say, yeah, when you get to heaven, you'll know people, but you also know who's not there. And at the great white throne judgment, they'll march them by one, judging them all for eternity in front of God and everybody. Who are the hypocrites? The word hypocrite comes from a word that means like a play actor. If you think about this, there's some men I've watched over the film for years that they'll play one role and then they'll play another one. You can't tell they wasn't that guy in the first one. Then when they play the second role, it's completely different than the first one. It's like, is that, which one's the real him? I mean, is George Clooney Bruce Wayne or is he the dude that played No Brother Who Art There? Which is the real him? Is John Wayne a Marine or a cowboy? Good actor. Tell me, listen, is that guy that you watch on the soap operas, is he straight? Or is he like he played in the movies? Which one is he? Or is neither one the real him? He's that good an actor. See, a lot of people, let me tell you something. Let me tell you a little secret. You know why they have so many plays and dramas and skits in churches? We got so many actors in churches now that they don't need to be handing out the Oscars out there. They need to be handing them out in the church house. You'd probably get a whole lot less violence and a whole lot better ratings. You'd definitely get better actors because this crowd does it for free. Amen, amen. You're running well now, preacher. Now listen to me. When you get somebody that's a hypocrite in the church, they hate everything about the church. They're insatiable. They're never satisfied. Nothing satisfies them. And they could always do it better than who's currently doing it. And then they get their opportunity and they can't do it, but they say, nobody followed me. Nobody did right. No, it's not them. It's the hypocrite. By the way, I've watched several making of different things, and I'm always amazed when they show these actors behind the scenes when they're on a set. Boy, that's the biggest bunch of crybabies I've ever seen in my life. They'll want a bathrobe put on as soon as they're done. They got a suit on, throw a bathrobe over them, have them sit down, fan them off and all this other stuff, and cry and whine because they got apple juice instead of orange juice. Boy, they'll pitch a fit, throw the table over and do all that. They'll go to catering and it's something they don't like, they'll flip the table over. But yet when that thing's action, hi, how are you? And they'll go right back to that stuff right like that. Wonder how many times you walked out the fellowship building and not be the chicken you liked out there and you wanted to flip the table over. You said, no, they know what I am then. Did somebody say action right before we walked in? So there's so many hypocrites playing so many roles like that. But don't worry, your day will come and you'll get your reward. And it won't be an Oscar. It won't be an Emmy. It won't be none of that stuff. It'll be in hell in the lake of fire. This is a very serious thing. Notice something else in somebody that will be in hell. Look back up Revelation 21 where we started. Revelation chapter 21. Back at verse number 8, he spells it out very plainly. But the fearful. There's the first crowd. What were they afraid of? People. What do they say if I get saved? Who cares? I used to try to keep up a reputation, then I got saved and I realized something. Uh-oh. All I got to do is keep up him. Yep. Let's keep a good relationship with Jesus Christ. I ain't got to worry about everybody else. I hope you like me, but if you don't, I don't like you either. Amen. Listen, I've had people tell me at the back door of the church, I don't like the way you preach. I tell them right quick, I don't like how you listen. I figure they're kid and I'll play with them. If they get mad, I mean, you know, we'll see each other and forgive each other if you're going. If you're going. I've had people get mad at me for all kind of things I didn't do. But if they really knew what I did, boy, they would be mad then. Are you listening to me yet? There's going to be a crowd in hell called all unbelievers. That's the all-encompassing thing of Revelation 21. He says the fearful and unbelieving. So what does that mean? Well, it simply means they don't believe, don't it? What do they not believe? Anything. Anything to do with God, anything to do with the Bible, they don't believe it. If you show it to them in the Bible, they don't believe it. That's your interpretation. I love it when people say that, because all you got to do is simply look at the structure of the sentence, who's being talked to, what the surrounding thing of it is, and you can always see the direct interpretation of any writing that's written in English. Wonderful thing about this language, it is very precise. But wait, there's more. It wouldn't matter if it was written in French, they don't believe it. There are a bunch around here today that says, well, we got to go to the Greek and Hebrew. You don't believe that either. There's a crowd that says today, if you believe the Quran, they don't believe that. I'm proving it to you. The Quran says to trust the prophets and trust the prophet. And then it says Jesus Christ is a prophet in the Quran. They don't believe that. If they believe that, they'd run out of that place right now. It says the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable. I'm going to deal with this more tonight, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm not taking my kids to grooming world. Yeah. And if you are a groomer, you don't belong in the White House. You belong in the jailhouse. You sure don't belong in the schoolhouse. No. That's wicked. It's ungodly. It's an abomination. God says so. Oh, you hate me. Never said that. But boy, the devil sure tells you that, don't he? Your father, the devil, tell you every preacher that preaches against you is a hater. It's not hate. It's something you've never learned in life. You know what it is? Some of you don't like it really. I'm going to tell you what it is. And some of you, straight as a pin, I'm going to tell you what it is you don't like. You ready for it? No. How many people you deal with every week says that? You say no to them. You ain't telling me that. That's negative. I wonder if we get our highway patrolman here to testify. Do you pull them over at 56 and 55? That's what they told me you got them for. No, I pulled them over at 85 and 55 and told them, no, you can't do that. You ain't telling me I can't fly like that. Maybe that cement wall will tell you next time. Uh-huh. Are you listening to me yet? Mm-hmm. Here's a surprise for you. People that tell you no are not against you. Oh, if we'd listen back with teenagers. No! Okay, I'm going to do it. I ain't going to do it. Got me out of a whole lot of scars. Listen to me. I'd have gotten a whole lot less trouble. Because you ever learn no at the house, learning no outside the house is pretty easy. No, man, don't know what it's like to be me. Yeah, he pretty much knows he's exactly like you. I'm going to tell you something. I hope the guy's watching this today. I grew up with a guy named Danny Crocker. I thought Danny was the most know-nothing, didn't know what was going on, flake in this world when I was growing up. You know, I had to tell him one day, you was right about everything. You know what he always said to me? No. And that boy, you ain't my daddy. Listen, no. If I'd have just listened. So what's he saying no about? Oh, I don't know, alcohol, marijuana, staying up too late, you name it. I always got to know. I was 14, I knew everything. And my condition grew worse. Then I became 15. And it got worse, I became 16. Listen to me carefully. That no you learn at home might be able to help you say no to the devil one day. Because if you won't mind what's over you right now, you'll never mind God, whom you can't see, when he says you must be born again. Parents, if you don't enforce what you tell them, if you do not make them consequences for that, they will never get saved because they won't believe in consequences. That's a sad truth. There's more people right now that are sitting in these graveyards that they went on to hell because they would not believe in consequences because they were never taught any. They didn't like no, but nobody showed them the backside of that thing. You think your parents are crazy? Guess what? They are. You made them that way. That's the truth. Somebody tells me my mom and dad's crazy, I believe it. So I help put them in the nut house. But don't worry, teenager. You get to show us how to run it here in just a few years. But you could move out right now and go ahead and show us. Right now. But yeah, I thought so. Now watch this. He says, the fearful, unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers. And murderers. If you participate in taking somebody's life, you're part of that. Not soldiers. Not self-defense, where you set out to kill somebody with malice in your heart. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not what? Oh, there it is showing up here at the end of the book. And then this one, whoremongers. You know what a whoremonger is? That's somebody that lives and breathes to have adultery, fornication, all of that stuff, physically and mentally. There's a section in Romans chapter 1 where it says God will give them over to a reprobate mind. You ought to read what follows that. It gives out a laundry list of stuff like this. But then it says they had pleasure in them that do them. They wouldn't even do it. They just like watching it. What you watch on the internet or the TV late at night, what you have pleasure in is who you really are. And I don't care what it is. But I know if it involves that word right there, God specifies where they're headed. So what's that show me? Time to get born again. Time to get delivered by the power of God. Time to give in to the Holy Spirit of God's conviction on a lost life that you might be saved and avoid this place called hell. Notice he also says, and sorcerers. So what is that? I don't know, maybe it's Mickey Mouse with that little hat on casting spells all over a thing. That's where it starts at when you're a little kid. They teach you to laugh at it. It's funny and it's okay. Oh, I don't like how you preach about that. I don't care. I've been wrestling about what to preach on all week anyway, so you listen. If I put up with it, that's your turn. And listen to me. That crowd didn't get bad in the last 2 years doing that stuff. They've been grooming kids for years. They put stuff on the cover of videos for you to find and everything else. It's wicked. They did that. They're the number one thing that released sorcery and that being okay in America. Oh, and let's not forget these other things. Glinda, the good witch of the north. There is no such thing as a good witch. That white magic, that good magic, is of the devil. Everybody that's ever been involved in that, we got a missionary we support. I might have him give his testimony before he goes on over to the field. He said this. He said, when I was a homeless kid in the streets, I got fooled up with these Wiccans. He said, I got involved in that only to find out that at the end of the road back there is the devil and that black magic and white magic are one and the same. Oh, it didn't get bad till recently. I'm afraid the Wizard of Oz released in the 1930s, wasn't it? A little introductory offer from the devil for you. So you preach against this stuff like it's bad. Hey, you getting it. You getting it. Do you see sorcerers right there? How about this next one? Idolaters. I'll leave you with one comment on that one. American Idol. So we don't have an idolatry problem in America. American Idol. There's at least four shows that's based on that one. They all have to do with the same thing. Or I just throw this out there, Survivor. Do you know, you'll never believe this. I was preaching a revival on a Sunday night somewhere. My wife had our kids down to nursery. They was like 4 and 5 years old or 3 and 4. And the lady in the nursery said this, well, I hope he gets done quick. And Lisa's like, who? She said, that guy preaching tonight. Oh, you do? Yeah. Survivor's coming on at 7. We got to get out of here. Good God, we'd have texted him back then.
Hey.
I had a wireless mic. I could have went all the way down there. I just set the thing preached right outside the nursery. She wouldn't miss nothing. And then felt bad, couldn't leave because I just had to walk by me to leave. Can I tell you something? I see more idolatry in people like that. Their idols are these people on these shows, and they are committed to them, or so they're committed to the cause of Christ. I don't care what's coming on TV. I'm here till we're done. I don't care what's in a crock pot or on the television. Amen. I've come to worship the Lord and get in. There's no chance of wanting to get out. Why? I got in. And I didn't get in to get out. I got in to get in. Notice this one. He says in that verse, he says, and all liars. I've been told for years it's okay to tell a little white lie. And when I hear that, I cringe. Now, you know why? God didn't say all the bad liars go to hell. He said all liars. All liars. Not part of them. Not the ones who lied so it wouldn't cause trouble. By the way, when you do that, it's going to come out anyway. And somebody that'll lie for you will one day lie on you. They're this crowd right here, all liars. And he said about them, they shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If you'll turn over your page to chapter 22, look down at verse 15. He points them out again. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, all unbelievers. The only hope you got is in verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will let him take the water of life freely. God's invitation is this. Come to Jesus and be saved. Quit trusting in yourself. Quit trusting in your good works. Quit trusting in others' good works. Quit trusting in your lineage. I worked with a guy one time that said he was going to heaven because his parents were missionaries. God has no grandchildren. None. He has children. You must be born again. Let me ask you this. I've showed you at least about nine things, nine different types of people that will be in hell. Can I ask you this question? Will you be in hell? Will you be in hell? Now's the time to fix that. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.